RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Richmond's home for the Nats, the Caps, the Wizards, the Flying Squirrels, the Washington Commanders, Virginia Tech football, UVA athletics, all things UVA with Who's Talking Mondays on 910 The Fan, VCU basketball, and more. And, of course, we like to cover local sports here in Richmond every week when we have Gary Hess, the voice of high school football, on the show. But joining us right now is a very special guest on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. Former Cornell lacrosse long stick midfielder Walker Wallace is heading to UVA as a grad student to play tight end for the Hoos. Welcome to the show, Walker. I'm glad to have you with us. What's going on?
Hey, Adam. Great to be here. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely, dude. So why don't you talk us through the last few months of your life and how exciting it's been to have all that success in lacrosse, man?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a pretty unreal stretch, you know, finishing out my eligibility with lacrosse and doing it the way we wanted to do it with the national championship at Cornell, the first one in close to 50 years. That entire experience was everything I could have hoped for, and then pretty quick turnaround getting back home and you know, committing to UVA to go play football as a grad student, and we'll be headed there this weekend. So, you know, it definitely was a quick turnaround.
I want to rewind to you in high school here in Richmond, Virginia, at St. Chris. And I know you were the Richmond Times-Dispatch Scholar Athlete of the Year. It's pretty incredible, man. I got to give you your props for that. An incredible GPA. But a three-sport athlete, a star in three sports. Was there any sport you couldn't play growing up?
I think there definitely were some sports I couldn't play, but I think the better question there is, I guess the reason I played three sports was my older brother, you know, he played three sports as well. And so whenever I was playing against him, that kind of humbled me. Didn't win many of those, no matter what sport we were playing. So that probably drove me to try a little harder and have some success down the line in all three sports.
Yeah, and I know you know your family has a history in the sports world. What are some of the things they've accomplished that has kind of helped you have some confidence?
Yeah, I think that's been huge for me. I'm the youngest of four siblings, and all my older siblings were great role models for me, and they didn't take it easy on me around the house, which I didn't appreciate at the time. There's plenty of games that ended with a fight, and you know, I think that was good for me. It made me tougher, but seeing them do well and whatever they were doing was you know, really big just for my confidence. And then, you know, even cousins, aunts and uncles, grandparents, I've been really lucky to have the support that I have family wise and yeah, that's been huge for my development.
So at St. Chris, I mean, you're a captain on the football team, basketball team. How did you decide that lacrosse was your best sport?
I think a big part of it was my older brother. He played lacrosse at Cornell as well, and I saw that and got to know the program through going to his games. And, you know, that was a place that I wanted to go be a part of because of the culture and the history of the program. I loved playing all three sports. I love more than anything just competing and being in the locker room, being around like-minded guys that want to get better in whatever sport it is. So I think it was tough deciding between the three, but having that older brother role model probably drove me to lacrosse in the end.
Yeah, and now you're going to have an opportunity to live out another dream of yours, playing a different college sport. So how does this transition happen? Can you kind of take us behind the scenes how you have these conversations? We hear all about how crazy the transfer portal is. It's the wild, wild west with NIL. How did these conversations occur for you to go from Cornell, lacrosse, to now headed to UVA to play football for their tight end for their football team?
Yeah, I think I definitely hear the same stories about the transfer portal and all the crazy stuff that goes on. Mine's probably a little less exciting, but it was a pretty quick turnaround from, you know, football being something that I talked to Coach Lance Cleland at St. Chris about. You know, ever since I graduated, he knew I wanted to play lacrosse, but he always told me that when the time came, I would be able to hopefully have some opportunities in football. So we kept that door open, but was obviously focused on lacrosse and trying to win a national championship and trying to have a great final season. And so those conversations were held, and he reached out to some places, and UVA was a place that I hoped would work out, you know, sort of a dream school of mine, being a fan of all UVA sports growing up. And so I got in touch with the staff, was able to visit earlier this spring after we played against Richmond here in the regular season. I stayed home and then visited UVA the next day. And then their whole staff was great about just giving me space down the playoff run, and knowing that, you know, we were locked in with the lacrosse stuff. And then once we handled business there, I, you know, circled back and ironed out some of the details and figured out I'd officially be committing there.
How confident are you in your abilities to play tight end at a high level? I mean, UVA is coming off of a bit of a disappointing season, but you could say the same thing about the ACC as a whole. The whole conference wants to get back to being at a higher level. How confident are you in yourself to play tight end in the ACC?
I mean, I think there's no doubt that there will be an adjustment period there, and I have a lot to learn. I have as much to learn as anybody could, but, you know, I embrace that challenge, and, you know, I'd say more than anything, I'm confident in my ability to get in the locker room and learn from guys around me and, you know, put the work in. I've seen what that blueprint sort of looks like throughout my athletic career. I'm going to be leaning on my experience of having played multiple sports. I'll be leaning on the guys around me and the coaching staff and trying to learn as much as I can, as quickly as I can, and, you know, really just enjoying the opportunity. So I'm just excited to get there and get to work.
What was your experience like here in Richmond playing three different high school sports at a high level at St. Chris? How much did you enjoy that?
Yeah, that was amazing. I'm really grateful for the whole St. Chris community, you know, whether it be the school or specifically, you know, that sports community, all the coaches I had. I was really lucky to have some great mentors and some that I'm obviously still even in touch with to this day. So that meant a lot to me, being able to play all three of those sports and just be a part of that community and playing football games in front of packed crowds, playing Scott Gym, you know, playing some big-time basketball games. That was some of my favorite experiences I've ever had as an athlete.
Walker Wallace with us here on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. Was the Times-Dispatch Scholar Athlete of the Year, three-sport athlete that went over to Cornell, where he signed to play lacrosse and won the national championship, had all the success, and now is heading to UVA to join the football program as a grad student. And that will be an adjustment period, like you said, but you've already adjusted in the sports world. How was it switching positions in college, lacrosse, from goalie to defense?
I think that was a pretty big challenge as well, and, you know, something that I'll be drawing on as I go into the football world, because it was similar. You know, goalie to long stick middie doesn't really have any skills that translate. You know, goalie, you're standing there and trying to stop shots, whereas long stick middie, you got to be able to get up and down the field, and there's different challenges. So I started from ground zero, but, you know, I did what I was talking about earlier. I leaned on the guys in the locker room and leaned on my coaches who kind of showed me the way, and it wasn't a super smooth transition that first fall. I had a lot to figure out, but, you know, I couldn't be more grateful that I did it and that I had the support of the people around me. So, yeah, that's definitely an experience I'll be leaning on.
Well, Walker, I really appreciate you joining the show today. I hope our audience is inspired by you. I think it's really an incredible story. And, you know, not just great on the field, but in the books, in the classroom as well. And, of course, UVA is a great program, a great university. So we wish you the best of luck. We will be watching. We'll be paying attention here throughout this entire journey. I know I'm headed to Charlotte in a month for ACC kickoff, so I'll have a chance to sit down with your head coach, Tony Elliott. But, man, best of luck with continued your success, man.
Really appreciate it, Adam. Thanks for having me on.
That was Walker Wallace, former Cornell lacrosse long stick middie, who will be heading to UVA to play tight end as a grad student. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. I'll be right back.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. And it gives you the ability to rewind, run some errands, and then pick up right where you left off. Download it today for free, AUDACY. You can rewind to hear our conversation with Walker Wallace. I mean, Stubb, that is one of my favorite parts of the job, is to highlight an 804 standout. I mean, such a cool story. Local kid goes to Cornell for lacrosse, wins the national championship, says, you know what? I want to win in football next. And he'll be committing to UVA. And look, he grew up rooting for all things UVA. So I thought it was a really cool local story. Glad to get him on the show. If you missed it, rewind on the free Odyssey app. Today was the final day of mandatory minicamp for the Washington Commanders. They will now have a 40-day rest period to relax and recharge before training camp. And we heard from Dan Quinn. I want to put this quote on a t-shirt. He wants his guys to, quote, fail successfully. I loved that. And then we got another t-shirt quote from Brian Robinson Jr., who spoke to the media after today's mandatory minicamp about how he's excited to continue to show why he belongs here, why he's supposed to be with this team. He said he wants to stay sharp, never get comfortable, always wants to improve. He thinks his biggest role for this year is to be available. He knows he needs to stay healthy. And the quote that got me fired up, he said, "I'm hell when I'm well." I mean, is that a t-shirt or what, Stubb? I'm hell when I'm well.
About this.
I think it's so cool. I'm hell when I'm well. And it's just Brian Robinson throwing someone into the dirt with a stiff arm. I mean, even Jaden Daniels has some good quotes that could be on a t-shirt. Then during the Super Bowl, he said he was asked about how he had this incredible rookie season and advice that he would have. He said, you got to love the work. You got to love the work. So I'm excited the guys are back in Ashburn. We'll take a 40-day break period before we get excited for training camp, and we will be live and local from Commanders training camp this season. But I did get to see a movie on Tuesday night. I didn't get to review it, so let's do a little Netflix here on The Fan.
Netflix, the best of streaming services, TV, movies, books, podcasts, and more. We've got you covered on Netflix.
Woof. All right. Mission Impossible 8. I'm going to try to be nice because I do like Tom Cruise, and I'll say this right now, Stubb. I appreciate an actor coming on screen before the movie and thanking me for paying money to go see it.
Love it. It's my favorite thing.
He
always does it. But
the movie was so nubs, so mediocre. Oh, my goodness. The most exciting scene possible. You got to be on Red Bull to make sure you stay up for it because it's basically 2 hours and 59 minutes into the movie before we get the exciting scene of him basically hijacking a one-man airplane.
Yeah, but what a good scene.
But what a good scene that was. Thank goodness I ran to the restroom and re-upped my Diet Coke right before that scene and didn't miss it. But I can't stand movies that make the villain faceless. And I get it, Mission Impossible. They've done a million of these movies, right? They tried to say, Tom Cruise has defeated every villain possible. We're going to make this villain artificial intelligence, AI, right? Well, the problem was that when there's no face to a villain, there's just no one for, I feel like, the audience to hate. And I didn't feel that way about Gabriel, and I think they want you to feel that way because I guess they reveal that he's the person that killed Tom Cruise's girlfriend before even the events of Mission Impossible 1. Yeah, I was confused by that.
Like Philip Seymour Hoffman.
I was very confused by that.
Did that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So they tried to change it was Gabriel?
I always forget if it was Mission Impossible 2 or Mission Impossible 3.
But Philip Seymour Hoffman is in 3. He's in 3.
His wife.
Yes. But they were saying that the events of this movie were set up by something MI1.
The plot of 3 is he steals something he's not supposed to steal to save his wife.
Right.
And then we find out that that is this end. Sorry if this is a spoiler. It doesn't matter.
It's not a spoiler because this is a part 2. This is MI7 part 2.
It's like so bad until it gets good.
Yeah.
It's so bad.
It's really bad because the first hour of the movie, it felt just file footage of MI1 through 7.
It was so much like, oh, what a great run we've had, everyone.
And my buddy and I were joking with each other that this was too much for the diehard fans. I'm not sure there's enough of them for it to work, but it was almost like, hey, remember the guy from the first movie? He's married. Remember the guy from the second movie? He's got a kid. What about the guy from the third movie? He's dead. It was just all right.
I'm a diehard MI fan. I don't care.
Yeah, I'll tell you this.
I don't care about this movie.
For some reason, for me, and I know you probably hate these movies, and I haven't seen the last one, but it works when they do a recap on Fast and Furious movies because they're kind of like making fun of themselves. Mission Impossible was too serious for me to care about all the recaps.
This one was too serious. The best part of Mission Impossible is when it's Looney Tunes. It's when Tom Cruise is doing the stupidest, wackiest thing with made-up technology, getting out of the craziest scenario no one should have. That's when Mission Impossible is at its best. But this one, it was like dour.
Yeah, it was not. Simon Pegg was not very good in my mind. I thought he looked old. Ving Rhames looked ancient. They brought the band back together. You know what? I'm going to tell you this. I'd rather have a solo Tom Cruise. I didn't need them to bring the band back together.
Well, the band wasn't gone. It's the band. It's the same people in every movie.
And you know what? At the end of it, spoiler, there will be another Mission Impossible. There has
probably
to be. Because nobody died. Nobody that mattered died. Everybody was back alive at the end. I don't know.
Yeah, one of my favorite side character died, I think, in the sixth or the seventh one. Amanda Ferguson, I think, is the actress. She's been great. She was like the best companion Tom Cruise had in any of the movies. And she's gone. I don't care about Captain Carter, the girl who
played
Steve Rogers' girlfriend in the first Captain America movie that's in the last couple. I don't care about her.
No, I don't either. And so, look, I've been going to the movies with my boys on Tuesday, Half Price Tuesday, Movie Land. The experience was better than the movie. I like that I'm going back to the theaters. You know, it's fun when you watch a movie with friends. It's fun to hear the trailers before the movie. My thing, you know, I've told you this before, is I basically like show the audience. It's like Maximus at the end of Gladiator. I decide whether or not that movie should be killed or it can live with a thumbs up or a thumbs down after every trailer. But you know what kind of pissed me off? Every trailer before Mission Impossible was a superhero movie. It was like Marvel, DC, Fantastic Four, Superman.
Two on the horizon.
Yeah. Too much. I'm excited for Superman. I cannot believe I'm getting, what is this, the third Fantastic Four in my lifetime? And I didn't think any of them were good. It's actually the fourth, because the first version, they made two.
Yeah, they made two.
It's crazy. It's crazy. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. I hope you enjoyed this Hollywood update on Netflix. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. Commander's Corner with David Harrison coming up next. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, joining us right now on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline to talk Washington Commanders, it's beat writer David Harrison, covers the Commanders for Sports Illustrated. What's up, David?
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing great, and really, I was obsessed with Dan Quinn at the podium today. I thought he hit all the right notes. We love his quote. He wants his players to fail successfully. I want to put that on a T-shirt. But I think my biggest takeaway was Dan talking about Deebo Samuel's speed, a day in which there were a lot of trolls on social media calling him slow.
Yeah, I mean, you know, social media is a great place for some things, and it's a terrible place for other things, but you know, I can't speak for everybody that's been out here, but I can just tell you from my standpoint, and, you know, you've been out here, you can't watch one guy the entire day or else you're not going to see much of anything. But I have never seen Deebo Samuel, you know, during this mini camp or OTA period, do something where I looked at him and said, oh, man, like, he might not be, you know, up to snuff or not, you know, available or able to do what the Commanders are needing to do or out of shape or anything like that. And you know, to kind of, I guess, you know, reinforce Dan Quinn's point. Not that he needs me to, but, you know, we've seen Deebo, you know, hit several deep routes and Jaden even targets some of them, and some have been more successful than others. But, you know, that's what this point of the period is to get in rhythm with new guys, especially. And we saw the same growing pains with Terry where, you know, Jaden would overthrow him here, underthrow him here. And then, you know, specifically Cincinnati on Monday night, you saw it really kind of start to click. And that's the process they're in right now. So, you know, again, I can't speak for everybody, but I wouldn't pay too much mind to some of that noise going on about Deebo.
You know, social media, David, it's a terrible place. It's hell on earth. I watched that video, and I'm thinking how great Deebo Samuel could be if he gets back to his, you know, Pro Bowl-level form, how explosive he could be on the inside with maybe Terry and Jalen Lane on the outside or something like that. Like, I was thinking best-case scenario, but, of course, on social media, they're thinking worst-case scenario. How good could Deebo Samuel be at his best in Cliff Kingsbury's offense?
I mean, I think he can get back to being at least a top 30 receiver, you know, in the NFL, and then, you know, top 30 is not going to necessarily wow, you know, everybody in the market, but I think it's a very good person to have on your roster when you've got Terry McLaurin out there, and like you said, some of these other weapons, Zach Ertz, and hopefully an improved running game. If you can get Deebo in the top 30, then you're going to have an improved offense from what you had last year, and last year was already the fifth best scoring offense in the league. But I think this year what you're looking to see is not just maybe see if you can increase the point production, but also see if you can increase the point production while not having to convert as many fourth downs as you did. Like, it's great that, you know, this team was able to convert all those fourth downs and win all those last drive games and last minute games, and certainly made for a lot of exciting moments. But I think any coach, any team would love to be able to just, you know, be up 10 points with 3 minutes left in the game instead of having to do that. So I think if you can get to that point, it'd be great. If you can get top 20 Deebo, I think you're just even better. I'll tell you, man, I've already told, you know, the fans that interact with me the most, go ahead and plan on putting Deebo Samuel on your fantasy boards to draft him at some point in time, especially if you're in a PPR league where you get those points for those receptions, because if that social media narrative continues, then all the people who don't listen to local coverage of this team and of Debo are going to buy into it, and you're going to get Debo at a steal, I think.
Yeah, I love the side of that, and I think you're right in PPR leagues, because I think he could have a ton of receptions this season, just kind of screen passes, get him ball in his hands, and see what he can do with his yak. David Harrison with us here on the Hadeem Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline, beat reporter for the Commanders via Sports Illustrated. Also, check out his work, Locked On Commanders. Follow him on Twitter, at dharrison82. Why don't you give us your three biggest takeaways from this week of minicamp?
My three biggest takeaways, I think Jaden is incredibly locked in. You know, I've already talked about several times on the show over the offseason that I think, you know, there's going to be MVP buzz about him, you know, early in the season. And can he be that next quarterback to get an MVP in his second year? You know, Lamar did it. Patrick Mahomes did it. And then, you know, Kurt Warner before them did it. I think Jaden, you know, has the opportunity to potentially do that, especially with the amount of primetime games this team has. If he can go out there and perform and be even better in this second season than he was in the first season, under all those lights with all those cameras, like, voters are going to have no choice but to put him pretty high up in the ballot. And, you know, certainly there's some other guys out there that are going to have their case to make as well. But I think Jaden, certainly, you know, it's early. I'm not saying he is an MVP, but from what you can see from a young quarterback in his second year, he's talking about the control and the command of the offense. There were some reps in 11-on-11 specifically where they're running no huddle, and you see him, not only is he taking control, but he's literally placing guys. Like, he's telling guys, no, you line up here, you swap here, you go here, and then we're going to snap the ball when we're ready. And it's stuff that you love to see out of a second year quarterback. Luke McCaffrey, I think, you know, the excitement and hype that people have put into him from, you know, coaching comments and Cliff Kingsbury talking about the step that he takes, and Dan Quinn talking about it a little bit. I think it shows itself on the field. He's caught multiple touchdowns here in the OTA minicamp period, and a lot of routes. There's some routes where the quarterback missed him. He's open, got free, and the quarterback just missed him. So, you know, I think Luke is playing with a lot more confidence. And I think the last thing I come away with, man, is honestly, like, the running back room and the safety room, like the safety group, I would say. Like, those two positions, like, right now for me, I know there's bigger fish to fry, like offensive line alignment and all that stuff, but I think those two groups are kind of the most intriguing to me. And, you know, running back, look, it's B-Rob 1, Austin 2. The question is, who's the 3? Do they keep a 4 when we get to training camp? But the amount of guys lined up behind those two guys to fight for roster spots, Dan Quinn said it today. I asked him about Chris Rodriguez. What he said, he's like, that's going to be a really competitive room, and that's going to be, you know, for football nerds like me who love the battle for the 3rd and 4th spot on the depth chart, that's going to be one of the more intriguing ones of training camp.
Were you on site? Did you see the Noah Brown injury yesterday? Is there any more that you can tell us about that?
Not really. I mean, I saw it, you know, so yeah, like, I was literally, you know, watching that play. I saw what happened. I saw the collision. The only thing I can really say to, you know, and I don't think anybody is, but just in case, you know, anybody, you know, Will Harris, you know, nothing intentional there, nothing. He wasn't trying to hit Noah. It was just two guys trying to make a play on the ball, be competitive, and it's an unfortunate thing that happened. You know, definitely a scary moment for Noah. My heart just kind of goes out to him. Just a guy that's got, you know, all the talent in the world, man, just can't seem to catch a break and be able to stay healthy long enough to really showcase it on a consistent basis. But as far as, you know, what the injury is, like, I'm going to kind of stick with DQ on that. Like, I don't want to speculate, you know, on what it is and you know, talk about his injury like that. But I just, yeah, it doesn't, I don't feel like good news is coming. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, no, I hate to hear that. Lastly here, a quick question. Are you getting a chance to see the new kicker, Matt Gay? Or are you excited? You got confidence in him?
I like Matt Gay. So a little bit of background. I covered Matt Gay when he was drafted by the Buccaneers, he's got a cannon for a leg. I remember being in the indoor facility during Buccaneers training camp, and I mean, I've never seen fans ooh and ah over a field goal kicker during minicamp training camp than I did when Matt Gay was just bombing 61 yarders,
all right,
you know, through the goalpost. You know, well, he's had some accuracy issues here and there. I actually talked to him a little bit offline, you know, here during the OTA period, and, you know, just kind of reconnected with him. Said, you know, coverage in Tampa and all that stuff. You know, happy to see it here. And he kind of smiled at me and said, I'm a little more straight now on my kicks than I was back then. But, you know, he ended up with the Rams, won a Super Bowl, and yeah, he's been, you know, it's a kicker's life, man. So he's been around multiple spots. But I mean, the dude has got a leg on him. You've seen it a little bit here in OTAs and minicamp. And I think fans that come out of training camp, like, if they give him the opportunity to put some of those balls in the air from, you know, from the 50 or deeper, I think fans are going to be pretty excited about the power that he's got in that leg.
David, really appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
That's David Harrison. Follow him on Twitter at dharrison82. I'm at AWOD Radio. If you tweet us your thoughts and it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Just search 910 The Fan. Gives you the ability to take the radio show with you on the road. Running the three-man weave this summer, Stiff, Biff, and Whiff. I'm Adam Epstein, and look, I wanted to recap the Squirrels game last night. We had a ton of fun. Stubb unfortunately missed it because he's got a big-time second job.
Yeah.
I'm very proud of Stubb for that. I did want to say I thought that you had a good work ethic last year when you picked up the second job delivering food. I think this is a much better second job.
I'm proud of
you stepping up and taking a step forward in your work-life balance. But at the Squirrels game last night, Biff was there, Bennett was there, Carey was there, Purcell, the whole squad from Odyssey, Rich Herrera from downtown, downstairs, Wicker and Wild, Bill Drake. It was a ton of fun. That was probably one of my favorite of the four Odyssey 910 The Fan nights we've been to. It felt like you had a good time. You stayed there for a while.
Yeah, I was surprised. I usually don't go to Squirrels games and stay till the eighth inning, especially this year. They stink, but they were winning.
Yeah, and we got the win.
Yeah, we did.
So now undefeated for 910 The Fan night. I mean, get Blay and Trey on the phone. Tell them to invite us back every game during the opening series of the second half of the season, because that's the best part. The record goes back to zero when they start the second half of the season. But it was a lot of fun there. And Stubb, so Biff is getting to meet all the big sillies at the company for the first time. The sales manager.
Gotta make an impression.
The president of Odyssey Richmond. And it made my night.
I know this
to
is
see
going.
Biff get introduced by Bennett and Carrie and Amy and all the most important people at Odyssey. And he had a hot dog in his hand the whole time. And he was gripping that thing like he was a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback. He wanted to eat it so bad. It was just standing, and I was dying, Stubb, watching him go from shaking one hand to one hand while the other hand's holding this hot dog. And you said by the time you ate it, it was a cold hot dog.
It was cold hot dog, man.
Think about it. I don't care, dude. I'd be munching on that thing, shaking hands.
Yeah, it was like I need to make a good first impression. I feel like a mouthful of a hot dog is not a great first impression.
Whatever.
First impressions are everything. I thought you made a really good first impression. I was glad that you were there at Odyssey Night. It was a ton of fun. Like we said, the Squirrels won, so that was the highlight right there. I think the funniest part was, and you can chime in on this, Michael Phillips was treating it like it was a hockey game, like it was tonight's Stanley Cup Finals.
We talked about it on his show.
Yeah,
we said every time the Squirrels scored a run, and me and you weren't paying attention, we knew they scored because Mike was
banging on the glass stub like he was sitting front row watching Alex Ovechkin net 895. It was unreal. It was so loud, too. MB, it was jarring.
MB knows how to make an event.
He does. He made sure that everybody knew when the Squirrels scored a run or if they got a key out to end an inning. And yeah, I mean, it was a ton of fun. I had a great time with Olivia from sales downstairs, one of our sales managers, and she was trying to talk me into playing playing volleyball. I recently joined a kickball league, but might have to get into volleyball or pickleball league, something like that.
That's
as
where it's
well.
At.
But yeah, we had a great time last night. Every day on AWOD Radio, we close the show by spotlighting biggest sporting event of the night. It's the Stanley Cup Finals tonight. I'm rooting for Edmonton.
Yep, go Oilers.
Because I want this series to go 7.
Me too.
Like it did last year when Florida won it all. Grant Paulson, Danny Ruye drive you home here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.